Hey, new patient group and Right Chat Nation, welcome inside the broadcast booth. Brian right here. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 86, Episode number 4 specifically of Season 6. Hope everyone is doing great out there. Just getting back from a wonderful national event with dental monitoring in Tampa. Shout out to DM. You did a first-class job. Those events, they're not easy to put on. There's so many behind-the-scenes things and moving parts. And everybody learns from every single time they do things like that. And DM, you did a fantastic job. Honored. Was great. We got wonderful feedback. 5-star feedback. In fact, Dr. Bob Skopak, longtime new patient group and Right Chat customer, he and I went over on the doctor stage. And then Dr. Alyssa Carter, longtime new patient group and Right Chat customer, she and I went on main stage, got wonderful reviews. We really appreciate those reviews. A lot of doctors, podcast listeners that came up, introduced themselves, and just a lot of doctors that that saw me speak and just came up and just pulled me aside and said, it's just fresh air, you know, a breath of fresh air, that is, to just get to see an outside the person of my industry speak on a whole nother world of learning and really spin a lot of the things that, we talk about. We really spin them in unexpected hospitality and how to automate things and just teach that the chaos throughout your practice is just not needed. It's unnecessary. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. So just wonderful feedback. Really appreciate it. Got an exciting stuff. We've got our new patient group mastermind event. This year it's going to be in Williamsburg. Going to see all the new patient group and Right Chat family members there. In Dr. Matt Josie's backyard. No pressure, Matt. You know, last year we're coming off an amazing one in Healdsburg in the Napa wine country with Richard Portalupe and his sister's winery. And this year, boy, the pressure's on, man. It's in your backyard. We're expecting some some big things, but just can't wait. That mastermind group is just such a special group to me. A lot of my friends, and we're going to talk clinical, we're going to talk business, we're going to talk innovation, mindset, life, and do what we do and make sure that the new patient group family members are always 5 years ahead of wherever the industry is going. So that's going to be great. Today, we're going to be talking about one that I've wanted to do for a while. I talk a lot on here as I have notes and I have podcasts, you know, on my notes and ideas and things like that. And I try to keep them relevant. Like last month, if you haven't listened, make sure to do. It was all around the framing effect. And I did that one specifically because going into the dental monitoring event, that is what Alyssa Carter and I talked about on stage, is it's not what people hear. It's not what you say. It's what people hear. And because of that presentation, I wanted to do something to where the DM crowd that was introduced to us for the first time could go back to the podcast and hear a far more in-depth journey around the framing effect and how it has an impact via every consumer interaction you have leading up to sale, but also after they purchase to keep them compliant and things like that. So we try to keep them relevant. Well, today, there's a very specific reason why I'm going to deliver this particular topic. And the topic is all around how you are doing to your business the exact same things price shoppers are doing to your practice. There is a disconnect that I have found in this industry, and it's been front and center for many years, but it's really been front and center to me since I started Right Chat. The amount of people that want Right Chat is amazing. The company's growing fast. It's growing well. It's well-respected. The results are fantastic. But there's one key ingredient to that I'm going to be talking about as an example, along with many more today, that you must stop doing if you expect exceptional results from the people that you're partnering with, the people that you're hiring, whatever it may be, an employee, an outsource partner, a consultant, a marketing company, whatever it may be. There's a key ingredient that a lot of you are missing from how you view who you're investing that money in. It's going to be a little bit of a spinoff today. If you look last year, the last episode we did last November was all around how your accountant is sabotaging your success and the four new ways of looking at numbers for this new economy and beyond, and how you have to shift your mindset away from looking at numbers like a corporation, and you must look at numbers like an entrepreneur. There's a big, big difference. There's a lot of things corporations do for the pursuit of profit that will put a small business out of business if you function like that when you're a commodity. And we're going to be talking about some of that stuff today because it's a stark difference between how you have to run a small business when you're commoditized versus how the corporations can do it and get away with it. And we're going to dive several examples that we're going to dive in today. Good one today. This one I am hoping a lot of you come away with. And just like that accountant is sabotaging your success, from last November. I'm hoping you walk away not only looking at numbers differently, but looking at whenever you do make a purchase from another company. Like I said, maybe you're going out and you're looking to redesign to get a beautiful website, or you whatever it may be, right? You need to look at something very differently than you're probably doing it. This podcast hopefully is going to change that mindset, put you in a better place to get better results. Before we get started, let's fire up the music.
The chaos of owning your own business is real, but it doesn't have to be that way. In this economy, there's a better way to grow your practice and make more money while working, spending, and stressing less. And the recipe to make it happen is right here. Welcome to Season 6 of the New Patient Group Audio Experience, a podcast dedicated to forward-thinking doctors that want less headaches and more personal and financial freedom. And now your host, he's the founder and CEO of New Patient Group, co-founder of Right Chat, and a trusted speaker for Invisalign, OrthoFi, dental monitoring, and others, Brian Wright.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. If you're watching over on our YouTube station, hey there. I appreciate you, your support over on YouTube and watching us. This, by the way, everybody, quite a few of the podcast listeners, even the ones that are, you know, obviously for the most people out there, they're listening to the podcast while you're working out, whatever it may be. We have a few that do it while they're cooking. I'll give you a reason why they do that. I'm actually going to give you a cooking tip coming up here, and I'm actually going to start doing that on a lot of podcasts, and there'll be reasons for that that I'll discuss here in just a minute. But a lot of people out there have started to use, you know, the New Patient Group customers out there, you already have your hour at minimum weekly meeting blocked. You have the discipline of making sure that you have time to work on your business, to strategize, to work through problems, to improve communication, role play with your team, and all the essential skill sets that we talk on here that you know you need. And a lot of you and a lot of people beyond just the New Patient Group customers that have bought into that hour to 2 hours every single week have started using these videos that we have on YouTube and playing them and watching together as a team and taking notes. And it's really got a lot of your team members. I got actually a few thank yous at the dental monitoring event with podcast listeners that introduced themselves to me. And I love hearing that. You know, this isn't just for all of you out there. A lot of this content, it can be played in front of your employees. It can be used to help you train and things like that. And I encourage all of you to do it. I had a podcast listener come up to me a couple events ago, and they knew that I was big into cooking. The New Patient Group Right Chat family members know that. Taking a lot of classes, it's just something that has always been a passion. I love coming up with new recipes and kind of being the quote unquote what I would do as a head chef at a restaurant. And a couple things that that podcast listener brought up to me, and then also just cooking for a lot of the New Patient Group family members when you come in and stay at my house, a couple things came up. So one of the signature dishes that we do when the doctors come in is we do a garlic parm risotto. We do steamed Brussels sprouts in honey and some other ingredients, obviously, as well. And then we do fillets. And the fillets go on the stovetop first, and then you take them while they're still in the skillet, finish them off in the oven. And that is the way a lot of the famous restaurants do it and cook their steaks. I used to grill them out, but once I learned and mastered this technique, grilling them out just can't even remotely compete with doing it the way I just did it. A couple things, though, and I've had some people say they tried it, and I'm going to talk just about the steaks here in just a minute. They tried it, and they relatively butchered the recipe, and so did I the first couple times. I didn't butcher it, but it wasn't nearly as good as what it is now. So a couple things that I want to run by you on why you butchered it. One, skillets. Everybody, and if this is the first time listening to this podcast, no, this is not a cooking show, but it is a passion of mine. It's something that I'm very good at, and I really love seeing how things can start off as ingredients and take the journey into something beautiful at the end, which is I kind of view as helping all of your businesses out there. You know, you have all these separate ingredients, if you will, and those ingredients could be how you run the business from a culture standpoint, how you view numbers, how you communicate with your employees, how you lead your organization, your clinical skill sets, your processes, how you answer the phone, and every other ingredient that you have to have, and how you combine those ingredients to tell this beautiful pictured story to the consumer. That inevitably is one of the reasons why I love cooking as well, because that's exactly what you're doing. And you have to remember a couple things. When you use a cast iron skillet, about 30 minutes minimum, better if it's 45 minutes to an hour before, you need to turn on the heat and you need to turn it on low with nothing in the cast iron skillet at all. That baby needs to be extremely, extremely hot. That is something that heat is your best friend, one of your best friends when you're a cook and you're trying to do it really, really well. A lot of people are afraid of heat. You can't be afraid of heat. So you do not turn it on high on that cast iron skillet. You want to turn it on low. No oils or anything. All right, just turn it on low for a minimum of 30 minutes. But like I said, you're better off 45 minutes to an hour. It doesn't need to be more than that, especially if you have a good cast iron skillet, but turn it on low. About 2 minutes, I would say. It could be a minute, but I would give it about 2 minutes before you're actually going to put a little oil on the surface. You are then going to turn it on high. All right, so that final minute to 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, and it can't be too much. So if you go with, I say 3 minutes tops, if you went 3, 4, 5 minutes on high, you'd be fine. But it's unnecessary wasted time is probably a better way of saying it. So right at 2 minutes is probably your perfect just time versus heat ratio, if you will. So you're going to turn it on high. You want that son of a gun extremely, extremely hot. You do that still before you put in the oil. And here's why. I use olive oil. You don't need a lot. But if you're going to go in and you're going to put in olive oil, it has a pretty low smoke point. And if I ever open up a restaurant, that's exactly what I'm going to call it, is smoke point. And that what it simply means, if you don't know, is once you see smoke coming up from the oil out of the skillet, you need to put things on or you're going to burn the oil. All right. It means other stuff too, but that's just a simple way to put it. If you put the oil on too soon, it's going to reach smoke point before the skillet is actually hot enough to put on the fillets. And that is a big cooking error that a lot of people make out there that was made with a couple of you that brought up that tried this dish on the steak side. All right. So you've got to get that hot to the point where when you put on the olive oil, you pretty much should be at smoke point instantly right when that oil goes on. All right. You grab a glove, you move that oil around in your skillet, and then the steaks are going to go right on. All right. Another thing that somebody brought up. So I do a garlic butter sauce that goes on the fillets. All right. It's simply, if you want to make it, you're just going to chop up garlic very fine. I would say 3 to 4 cloves. You're going to get some nice butter, and you're going to stir that baby around. All right. And when you stir that baby around, you've created something that it's got a thick texture, and it's butter and garlic. Doesn't need to be anything more than that. Not anything rocket science. Put it on there. But you do not put that on immediately. A couple of you said that you had a kind of a weird texture, a weird smell when you did it. And the reason you did it was if you put the fillets, if you put the butter on the fillet and then put the fillet in on the side that you have down on the skillet, if that side has the butter, you're going to burn the butter. All right. It's going to give it a weird texture because the heat ratio is too much for the butter. All right. So that butter goes on top of your fillets after you flip them. Right. And it's going to sit there and it's going to melt into the fillet. And then when it comes out of the oven, eventually you're going to have just a light white kind of glaze look on top. And that is that melted garlic butter that goes into the steak. All right. But you cannot do it. You cannot put it on the downside of the fillet. You're going to burn the butter. All right. Now, there's some other things. I'm going to start giving some more tips like that on podcasts as people bring things up. OK, but that's just a quick one. Main point there is heat is your friend. Do not be afraid of heat and you're going to have a better time. Remember, about 4 minutes each side on those fillets on the skillet, and then about 5 minutes in the oven will give you about medium rare with a nice 8-ounce fillet. So that's how you can time it out. But anyway, there's your cooking lesson of the day. No, if you're watching on YouTube, I don't have any visuals But I will. I'm going to put some B-roll over when we edit this video. I'll do some B-roll of some just the ones I did the other night here at the house for the family. That's my wife's, usually her go-to. If I say, you want me to cook for you tonight, she says that recipe quite often. But it is a fantastic meal, to say the least. And we certainly love it. And I love making that for the docs. That is something the docs usually request when they come in, because they've been seeing the pictures with other doctors at my house. So anyway, there's your cooking class of the day. Like I said, coming up this weekend, we have our new patient group mastermind event. It is such a special group of doctors. A lot of names that spoke at Dental Monitoring event coming back in the mastermind group. It's just such a special group, close-knit group, and just such awesome clinicians and just people that get the business side of it and the innovation. You know, it's funny. I did a podcast last season, I think it was, that was the number one trait of billionaires and why price shoppers really exist. And what I talked about in that podcast, if you haven't listened, one of the things that I talked about in that podcast was how really you look at remote monitoring, and the only people that would ever say anything negative about remote monitoring of patients are people within the industry. There's patients, if patients really knew what it was all about, you know, the outsiders, if you will, would never look at it as anything but a positive. And it just goes to show, and I talked about examples, that most innovation that is brought into an industry comes from people that are with outside your industry. You could say that with Richard Branson, as far as airlines go, with Virgin Atlantic. You know, there's a guy that had no previous airline experience, and when he brought Virgin Atlantic in, I love the story. He talks about all these airlines that had multiple 747s, and they're all out of business now. And they're all out of business because maybe they knew numbers better than him, but they didn't know people better than them, and customer service, hospitality, all the things that we teach, better than him. And those things are always more important than you knowing the numbers. Now, of course, the numbers are very important, not saying that, but if you had to be clueless on one thing, you're better off being clueless on the numbers and being an expert at work ethic and outworking people and innovation and people and customers and experience. Those are always more important. And I talked about, on the reason I bring this up now is that there is also, whenever you look at the real true innovators, they look at numbers differently. If you listen to Barbara, one of the Shark Tank, you know, she's the one with the shorter hair on Shark Tank. She's a big time in real estate. If you look at her story and some of the podcasts she's done where she's been interviewed, she talks about this exact same thing, looking at numbers differently, how she was clueless with numbers, but she started looking at cost versus investment differently. And that's what I talked about on that, the how the accountant is sabotaging your success. I dove into that pretty heavily in that episode. And also that number one trait of billionaires, and how you've got to be an innovator, and you've got to look with outside your industry. And that is the premise of that podcast, is what billionaires do, is they are constantly, and no matter how many times you say this to people within the healthcare industry, it's interesting to me how few actually get it. But the number one trait of billionaires is they have a coach, and that coach comes from with outside their respective industry, profession, because they want a completely different mindset, and they would rather have the mindset coming from their own customer than a mindset coming from within their industry. Because a lot of times the mindset of someone in a hotel industry is different than the customer they're serving. A lot of times, if you ask another clinician how to grow a business, their mindset is very different than what the customer even wants. And that is one of many reasons they look without. By bringing up this innovation and looking outside the industry, relating it back to the mastermind group, is that what we have? We have so many doctors that, you know, if they want clinical advice, and it doesn't mean they're not still asking their friends and their peers about things, about marketing and other things in business. Of course, they still seek that advice, but their main, if it's non-clinical, the main thing they want is they want to go outside of their bubble. And that is what our mastermind is all about. It's such an amazing clinical marketing business innovation think tank. And they're all so ahead. I love interacting with them, because you don't have to convince them about remote monitoring. or it's just they all get it. You don't have to convince them that being the best clinician in the community is not enough anymore. You don't have to convince them to look at numbers differently. And I'm going to be using some of them as an example today as I dive into something that has become very apparent to me over time in this industry, and it's become even more apparent since starting RightChat. And I'm going to dive into a lot of different areas today, but I'm going to start off with just asking a question and telling a story. I'm actually going to tell a story and then ask the question. Is this. So there is a restaurant, it's called Edison Food and Lab. And on Friday or Saturday night at the dental monitoring event, I can't remember which night it was. I think it was Saturday night. But it doesn't matter. So Stephanie Solomon, who she works with us with New Patient Group and with RightChat, she handles a lot of the social media posts you see. That's she's working with a couple people on the team to make sure those go up. She works our booths at events. She handles events and marketing. And long story short, she's such an angel. She takes a lot of stress that I've had on in the past, takes a lot of stress off of me. And she helps out a lot. So she was at dinner. And then Bob Skopak and Rob Schaefer, so both orthodontists, we're at a table for four at this Edison Food and Lab. And I love when I go to places like this. And I did not know it was going to be a place like this. But I love going to places like this with our new patient group and RightChat family members, because I see them smile. And we get into conversations about now these are the things that their teams are carrying out inside their respective practices and why they just constantly kick everyone's butt, regardless of the economic conditions. It's why they're able to constantly raise their fees and get away with it. It's why they're constantly not spending advertising, or they're spending way less than their quote unquote competition, and knocking the shorts off of them. You know, the way we were greeted by the girl at the front, and how she brought us to the table and how she talked to us before she left the table. And then we kind of had a secondary waiter come up that did kind of a mini welcome tour through the menu. And it was just a very good edification around the specials for the evening and just his favorite pieces on the menu, the drink menu, things like that. And then we had our actual waiter come up, and you know, there were trust transfers. There were just these interactions to just make you feel like a VIP, and just such different touch points as you're entering the restaurant, as you're walking to the table, as you're first sitting down, looking at the drinks, as the waiter is going through the menu. It's just such a different feeling. And you have this feeling of, wow, this place has got their you-know-what together. And you get that feeling, and you know you've all been out, whether it be a restaurant, whether it be something else, where it doesn't take very long. A lot of times, it just is the initial phone call. You already know they don't have their you-know-what together. But you walk through the door, and you just have this feeling of chaos, of they don't know what the hell's going on. And that's obviously not just a restaurant. You know, we have felt that in, heck, I mean, most consumers out there, that's how they feel when they walk in a lot of your practices. Where, you know, when you have 20 people in the waiting room, the phones are ringing off the hook. That's the perception, by the way. If you don't know, that's the perception you're giving away, is that you're just blah. You don't know how to run the business efficiently. You must not have enough time for me. Why is it so hectic and chaotic? Why are you seeing me 20 minutes past my appointment time? Like, these are the things that go through people's mind about a lot of your practices. Just like it goes through your mind whenever you walk in other businesses that don't have their you-know-what together. But the question that I have for all of you, that you need to remember this question, is when is the last time you walked into a place that was cheap, right? Cheap. That was legitimately good. That you knew from the time you were shopping to just how they, you know, had their YouTube station and their website set up for ease of use, convenience, friendliness, how innovative it looked. Did it truly look different than everybody else's? To the time you picked up the phone and talked to Susie, make-believe name on the phone for the first time, to when you showed up, how many times have you dealt with a business, whether they had a product or service that you were interested in buying, that was cheap, yet made you feel VIP and special the entire time? And I can tell you right now, if the answer is none, or it's extremely, extremely rare, is what you're saying to yourself. Every single business, if you look back over time, that really stood out, whether it be the restaurant example that is talked about, which, by the way, their story continued. Their food was excellent. Their cocktails were excellent. It was a great night. I had so much fun. I love, you know, when we go to events, I love going into your practices out there. But there is nothing that replaces me getting to speak on stage, me getting to meet the podcast listeners that are on the other side of this mic that you can't see. And a lot, like I talk about, there are a lot of the numbers. You get to see the numbers. And thank you, by the way, because our podcast is growing and growing and growing. And it just really means a lot to me. But going to these events and getting to go out with our customers and spending time with them, that for me, after being on stage and then doing that for me is like, it's just the cherry on the top. It's just amazing. It's the king of the mountain, and I absolutely love it. And we get into these conversations at business, just when you're having some wine or some cocktails and some good food at a VIP experience place, you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. It's no different when the doctors come to my house, or it's no different when we go to this mastermind event that we have once a year. The conversations just go to a whole nother, level. And I truly enjoy it. I know the customers truly enjoy it. And the experience at that place, I have one more experience discussion that actually is a very interesting one that I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. But that whole night, just the experience with the food and the experience with their staff, with their team, was just awesome. And it so much exemplifies and just replicates what we're doing inside practice, and it validates it, not only in our customers' minds, but in my mind, just seeing what's going on, it inevitably leads to you feeling damn good about spending a lot of money whenever you get the bill. And kind of a the other day, one of our doctors, when I think it was Bren Cooper. Hey, Bren. I think she had gone out to an. I think it was her. So, Bren, if this wasn't you that told me this story, then tell me next time I see you. But she goes to this dinner with some people, and they get the bill at the end, and the bill was astronomical. But they were happy. They were happy spending the money. Like, they were perfectly fine with it. Because of the overall, you know, weight. Staff experience, the team experience throughout the night, but then also how impeccable the food was. And I think when I was talking to her, and I've told this story a couple of times now, is that you just have to remember, all of you out there, no matter how many times I say this, I'm still going to come up with stories and just live my life and have stories come to me is really inevitably what I mean by that, is that the people that you're trying to get to buy from you, they don't get to taste your food. Right. So in a restaurant, you have, and I'm going to tell a story here in just a second about another restaurant I went to there, and I purposely brought Stephanie there. And it's a very interesting story. I'll tie this together as we go on, is that you've got to remember that as you're going to a restaurant and you're experiencing all these non-food experiences, you still get to taste the food before you buy. Right. And in your world, in the orthodontic world, it'd be like them not being able to taste the food at a restaurant, right? It's the non-food experiences, and then the bill comes, and you've got to be able to say, whoa, like, this bill is huge. I don't know. I got to think about this. Or, all right, here's my card, baby. I mean, you guys knocked it out of the park from every single interaction I had leading up to this bill. I'm very confident that the food's going to be great. And then, boom, you hand them your credit card, and then the food comes right after that. And your food better darn well be good at that point, right? And that is exactly how all your practices work, by the way. I mean, this is a podcast. This is a podcast in itself, but it's all the non-clinical experiences that have to justify the bill showing up at the end of their appointment, because they don't get to taste your food. They don't get to see how darn good of a clinician you are, which is why the staff, your team, must know how to sell it from A to Z, because when they get hit with the bill, they need to understand and justify why you're more expensive than everybody else. No different than the restaurant. It's the same thing, everybody. Same thing. Well, going back to the question, whether it be in your industry, outside your industry, you're buying clothes, you're buying whatever it may be, how many times can you remember an exceptional experience when the bill was cheap? or even if the bill was kind of average high. And those experiences are few and far between because that is not the business model of those type companies. That is not the business model of the majority of companies. Now, here's one, and it's called Burn Steakhouse. So if you ever get the opportunity in Tampa, Burn Steakhouse is usually in the top 10 in the United States on Food Network and other reputable sources. It's usually in the top 10 in America rated for steakhouses. A lot of times, it's in the top 5. It has been rated number 1 before. And at minimum, it's always in the top 25. All right, because those ratings change, they go back and forth. But it is one of the most well-known restaurants in the country. And it is a ridiculously over-the-top experience. It's kind of like you're walking into a old museum. It's a little spooky is not the right word, but there are some, if you've ever watched The Shining with Jack Nicholson, I have always felt I'm kind of in the movie when I'm in there. And but it's not like it's creepy. It's just it's old world. It's old gothic, world type when you walk through the door. And they have changed a little bit since COVID. But back in the day, the experiences were just insane. I mean, welcome tour through, which is exactly how the restaurants we do work with. This is a lot how they function. One, how that Edison Food and Lab Company or a restaurant did. It's the same thing with over on Burn Steakhouse, and Edison didn't do this, but Burn Steakhouse, welcome tour through the kitchen. They have a separate across the parking lot, another warehouse is their wine cellar, and their wine cellar is ridiculous. I don't know how they keep up with that kind of inventory, but it is thousands upon thousands of bottles that are just, it's just beautiful. And they used to take you through the wine tour. And then as you're sitting down, the waiters, the way they discuss the specials, how they're dressed, how they interact with people is amazing. And then if you want dessert, you check out and pay for your meal, and their dessert room is upstairs. So, and they have a whole separate waiter experience upstairs. There are these little kind of little individual rooms that you sit in if you want dessert. And the experience is just ridiculous. Why I wanted to take, just like I did, it was either last year or the year before, the number one marketing investment you'll likely never make. If you haven't watched that, that one is one of my all-time favorite podcasts because of how passionate I am. And inevitably, it's, you know, the experiences as the leadership team, as the doctor that you're wanting your employees to carry out, they can't comprehend because at their salary, they can't go to the places that we describe whenever we talk experience. So they can't relate to it. They can relate to a Best Western. They can't relate to a Montage or Ritz-Carlton or somebody even above those because there are ones above those. They can't relate. Or this Edison Food and Lab that I'm describing, or this Burn Steakhouse, because Burn Steakhouse for a table for two, if you're getting wine, you're not getting out of there for under $400 or $500. Right. But this restaurant probably exemplifies better than anything else what we talk about is the fact that this restaurant's food is average. It's not that good. It has its better nights than other nights, but I have now been there 3 times in my life. And one, partly, yes, because we cook at a very high level here at the house is partly, but it's also even Stephanie. I wanted her to experience that so she could experience it because as she interacts with our customers, as she, you know, works booths at events, I want to make sure she fully grasps what we're talking about from a unexpected hospitality standpoint and how you can make people feel and how you need to talk to them and how you can make, you know, an idea, how you can make a piece of steak on a restaurant menu, how you can talk about it in a way that gets people drooling to the point where they're going to buy, or how you can talk about the same steak in a different way, framing effect, and get them to go, ah, let me buy something else, and they buy something cheaper. And that happens, by the way, restaurant owners listening to this podcast, that happens your restaurant all the time. People don't buy the more expensive bottle of wine, and they don't because of how you're talking to them at the table. So the point is, just like orthodontic world and the dentistry world, et cetera, is because people can't relate to your clinical skills. What they can relate to is how all of the non-clinical things, how those go. And if they go exceptionally well, they're going to assume you're a good clinician or an exceptional clinician. And that is something you all have to remember, because if you're an exceptional clinician and all those non-clinical experiences don't go unexpected hospitality, and that's kind of just a word I have fallen in love with, then they're not going to know how good your food is. But if you can taste the experiences at the two places that we went to, they're just amazing. But you pay for it. Right, you're not going to go to a burned steakhouse and get that type of experience and get out of there for $50 for a table for two. You're not going to go to an Edison Food and Lab and get out of there for $100 for a table of four. Right, that's not the business model. You're going to pay for what you're getting. You are going to pay for the experience. And what a lot of you have to remember out there is that as you're hunting for a service, and I'm going to dive into some Right Chat examples now on recently some of the things that I am seeing happening. And it really kind of, it moved this up on my to-do list for podcasts because of the only objection that we get. And, you know, I have never run any business in my life where I needed, nor do I want, a high quantity. You know, many of you out there, you know, that charge, you know, lower prices as an example, there's nothing wrong with that business model, by the way. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't believe in that business model, but it doesn't make it wrong. There's a lot of people that run a lower end model, high number of patients or customers or clients, whatever business you are, and they've got to make a lot of sales to make a lot of money. That's their model. And there's models like that in every single industry, right? I'm always using the Best Western, the Olive Garden is an example. There's a lot of lower end models that do just fine. They make a lot of money, and that's what they do. What we teach on here and what we actively try to get our customers to do is intentionally implement prestige pricing where you're the absolute highest on purpose of all their opinions. And the reason we do that is it helps you differentiate yourself when you're viewed as a commodity, right? There's something unique about you if you're the most expensive. But, and it comes with a big one, just like you've heard me a million times, all the non-food experiences, like at Burns, like at Edison Food and Lab, all of those have to justify in the customer or the patient's mind why the hell the bill is so big at the end. Relating it back to your practice. But the businesses I've always wanted to run and what we teach is lower volume, less stress, less chaos, less lost opportunities, and do your best to make every customer, every patient you have feel like they're the only one that's ever bought from you. That is what gets rid of so many of the chaoses that all of you feel out there, which is a podcast coming up, maybe this season, next season, probably, all around the three things that inevitably create the chaos for all of you. And there's only three. If you're wondering inside your practice why you're busting butt to try to make an extra dollar, you're tired at the end of the day, everyone's aggravated, you're never relieved at the end of the day, it's constant frustration, high turnover, about 20 people in your waiting room, phones ringing off the hook. There are three things that cause all of it. And all three you can now get rid of based on the advancements that are made in the healthcare industry, orthodontics, etc. But as Right Chat continues to grow, and shout out to the Right Chat customers out there, Right Chat is, like I said, I have never wanted a business and never had a business that I owned that had to make hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of sales, needed all kinds of investors, all kinds of advertising in order to make money. I want absolutely nothing to do with that type of business model. And the first and foremost reason is because it's harder to develop relationships with your customers, and it's harder to offer a high-end service that delivers results at a very, very high level. Is it impossible? No, but it is extremely, extremely difficult with a devotion like you cannot believe. And Right Chat, and this is what you all have to remember whenever you invest in a company, let's, again, website. If you're buying clinical supplies, if you have, if you're choosing between three different X-ray machines, and it's one that if you want to pick up an 800 number, if something goes wrong, someone's going to answer right away, know your name. If you're dealing with new patient group, you're dealing with RightChat, whatever it is, the number one investment that you are making in that company is their culture. Period. End of story. I don't think that a lot of people actually think that way. And I'm going to give some examples that kind of prove it, right? So you're investing whenever you buy RightChat is an example. And a lot of you know me, so this is not directed at you because you know me, you're already customers. But there's also tons of you out there that aren't. There's an obsession that I have, and this is a podcast and an on-demand course that is coming at some point, that in order to run a really high-end organization that cares a lot, that actually gives a damn, which that's part of the culture, like when you invest in another company to help you, and I say your number one investment is their culture, there's a lot of things that go into that, right? One of those is actually giving a damn about how successful the customers that are paying you are, which is an obsession that I have. And I have gone through, you know, one of the things I am very proud of as a business owner, RightChat and New Patient Group, is we keep the good people. Just like we teach all of you, is that the longer you keep the crap, that's how you get rid of the good people. That's a podcast in itself as well on the list. If you keep the crap around and you make excuses why I've got to have people, I can't find anybody, so you keep the crappy waiters, it destroys your experience and the good waiters leave. Or it just brings their mood down with it. Same thing at your practice. Today's just it's a food analogy day. But I don't think a lot of you, or a lot of us, like me included, whenever we say, all right, we're gonna narrow it down and we're gonna go out and look for these companies to help us with this particular part of our business or our practice, how many of you go, look, I want to dive in and I want to learn about their culture? Because here's what you get, like with RightChat. It is an insane interview process. It is an insane training process with a goal of trying to get them to quit before they're ever even allowed to have any interaction with our customers, or for our customers in this case. And the reason the training process is so rigorous is because we give a damn about the experience you have interacting with our employees, interacting with the agents that are answering for your specific practice. We want to be represented at the highest possible levels. We want to make sure you're constantly telling people about RightChat. And it goes back to the same thing that we teach about the restaurant, about you, and the same thing about us, is that when we get referrals, most of the referrals go, yeah, Dr. So-and-so said you're so awesome to deal with. You always give more than what you tell. You're available all the time. I have your cell phones. You're just so easy and caring to work with. But none of that talked about what our actual service is, and that is answering new patient phone calls on your behalf, remoting into your software, scheduling them just as if we're employees, but they're trained by myself and all of the expertise and things we get on stage and teach all of you behind the podcast, whatever. And it's a game-changing model, whether we're your backup or whether we're answering your primary. Everybody that hears me talk about it wants it. But here's the difference. Recently, I've spoken at a few events where larger organizations hear about RightChat and they're like, oh man, we need that. You know, we've been thinking about building a call center. We have no idea how to do it, or it's a long journey. We don't even know if we want the headache. Maybe we could just outsource it, right? Or whatever it may be. We know the phones are a problem. We know we're missing calls. We're going to use RightChat. Or, you know, we want to use RightChat for the primary. So they're all gung-ho. They're like loving the idea. We send them some calls so they can listen to. They're like, the calls are absolutely amazing. And we tell everybody, whether it be on stage or in a quote-unquote sales process, that all you have to do, listen to the agents once, and you're never going to want your own people to answer the phones again. They're that good, and it goes back to the investment in our culture. They are so rigorously and highly trained and held accountable at the highest possible levels to carry our brand out in a way like a Ritz, etc. And the reason also that we have time to commit to that type training is because we're a business that does not want thousands upon thousands upon thousands of customers. We don't want it. And we don't need it. We want to make sure that we are the highest upon highest upon highest of quality every single time we answer the phone for your organization. Now, new patient group is the same exact way. Right now, I'm just using the Right Chat example, and I have some MPG examples possibly coming up. Now, the only people that we have ever talked to that did not go sign me up with Right Chat, because Right Chat, we do no contracts. And it's easy as could be because we have our own in-house IT team that hooks everything up. You don't change anything. You same management software, same phone number, same phone system. We hook it up. We train our people, learn a bit about you in a couple Zoom sessions, and boom, we're going. It's a plug-and-play system. People start growing. The only people that have not bought after hearing what Right Chat can do are the people that simply can't wrap their head around the pricing. They think that it's expensive. And mostly the people that think it's expensive are the corporations, you know, the large DSOs that want to use us. And this was specifically created more for just like new patient group. It's specifically created for the family-owned practice. That doesn't mean that's going to be our only customers. But that's who we're technically created for. And DSOs, a lot of the corporations listening, it is unbelievable how they look at numbers. Unbelievable how they look at numbers. And I talk about that in the Accountant Sabotaging Your Success episode, and I randomly talk about this in others, is that there is such a disconnect between how corporations look at numbers versus how entrepreneurs and small businesses must look at numbers in order to thrive. Because cost is not created equal. And it goes back to, do you want to spend $5 to make $10, or do you want to spend $1,000 to make $10,000? But every single time you look at your profit statement and you nickel and dime things, this is why I'm convinced a lot of the corporations, they have crappy clinical reputations. Why? Well, because they're constantly nickel and diming companies to offer them a cheaper solution, and most companies will do it. We won't. Because again, that's not the model. If we offered a cheaper solution, then we wouldn't be able to train the agents as much as we possibly could because they'd be so inundated answering calls all day that they wouldn't have any time, which means the quality of the phone call goes down, which means the results go down. We probably would even miss some opportunities with people calling you, you missing it, forwarding to us, but the agents have to answer for so many people, they still miss a call. Right, we would have to lessen the experience, the quality, the trying to make sure you feel like you're our only customer. Those things would not be able to exist if we're a quantity type model. Yet then you wonder why the company that you invested in isn't doing the job. This happens all the time. Well, I went with the cheapest. And then now I'm wondering why, you know, I can't get a hold of anybody when I call their 800 number. Well, because they're the cheapest, they're looking at their profit statement and they're going, well, we need to cut some of our call center people because on paper, that's showing them they're making more money. Meanwhile, they're screwing their customer. It's this whole how your pursuit of profit screws your customer. And that's a podcast in itself as well that's coming on the list one day. It's like, all right, we cut Betty and Susie off the call center list. Now we're making another $3,000-$4,000 a year or a month in profit. Boom. Now our customers are screwed because they got to wait on hold for 20 minutes, et cetera. That's how it all domino effects. Yet on paper, you cannot wrap your head around why that's not the right business move. See, you're not going to get an exceptional experience from the people you buy from if their model is we're cheap. Or if their model is, and DSOs, some of you listening out there, you're used to nickeling and diming companies all the time because they'll cow down and they'll do it, right? They're like, wow, you have 500 locations or 400 or 300. Yeah, I mean, if we make, you know, whatever, just 5% profit on every sale, it's going to make us a ton. And then boom, they have to have a trillion sales to really make money. And then as the trillion sales, they've got to hire more people. They've got to train more people. There's more chaos internally, which means it's less of an experience deliverance to you. I have told several people that wanted to partner with us so far that we are not lowering our prices. We just won't do it because you're going to see the value in what RightChat is going to bring you. And this mindset, a lot of times that they have when they see RightChat and they see these numbers, as an example, like our standard pricing, and there are ways for us to go lower. It doesn't mean that we won't go lower, but we're never going to go cheap. You know, our standard pricing right now is about $1,000 a tier. The tiers are 0 to 10 is tier 1. You're going to pay $1,000 if we schedule 7 new patients for you. You're going to pay $1,000 if we schedule 1 new patient for you. You're going to pay $1,000 if we schedule 10 new patients for you. That's tier 1. Right, and as your backup, if we send you about 4, 5, 6 people that buy from you an entire year, you like triple your investment. So $1,000 a tier, not only is it not expensive, it makes you a ton of money whenever you're missing calls and we're answering them, remotely scheduling them, and the patient never even knows a third party answered. It's these lost opportunities that's just nuts. That's what's expensive, that's what we tell these DSOs, but it's the same thing for all of you. You all get so frustrated when Nancy comes to your practice and tries to nickel and dime you. Let's say it's an Invisalign case. And she comes in and she's wanting one and she says, hey, I'm going to start for $5,000 and your fee is $6,500. And then she leaves and you get so frustrated at the consumer and these price shoppers and these people that buy from Smile Direct Club and these people that are looking around at 3 or 4 different opinions, which anybody that's smart should look at 3 or 4 opinions when there's a commodity. And that's what happens when you're a commodity. People are idiots if they don't look around to try to find which is most comfortable, which to them offers the most value for their dollar. Any business that's a commodity deals with that. And that's exactly what most of you do if you're looking for whatever. Just think about the times that you all have nickeled and dimed and tried to get the cheapest possible price you could get from some company in your personal life. Maybe it was a car. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it was a plane ticket. Maybe it was the clothes that you went and bought. Whatever it is. Or maybe it's the companies that are trying to help you on the business side. This is what happens. You try to nickel and dime them. You try to get the cheapest possible price. You try to negotiate with them like crazy. And that is exactly what people do to your practice that you get frustrated for. You're doing the same thing every single time that you try to negotiate down a price. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, by the way. We all should try to negotiate to try to get the best price for the best service we can. But don't expect a company that's cheap to have an exceptional culture where they're obsessed over their employees to make sure they're taken care of, they feel safe, they're motivated to do the right thing for the customer. A culture of obsessing over the customer, to do whatever it takes inside their doors, to offer the finest experience imaginable to their customers. The other thing with the RightChat model, and today is not about RightChat, these are just pure examples. RightChat was just, I thought, the easiest and best one to give today. Is that we don't want the agents to be inundated with too many calls. You know, we want them to be busy, but we don't want them to be busy and chaotic. And there is a difference. Because every time they answer a call, we want them to deliver it with the finest experience to your patients that are calling. And that can't happen if the only way we make money is through volume. And this happens. This has happened to all of you out there when you invested in a company. And I quote again, invested. That's what you're doing, right? You're investing in something that is supposed to give you a return and hopefully a significant return. And that just isn't dollar signs, by the way. That's also when you need to pick up and talk on the phone to somebody, you're going to get a live person right away that knows you. If there's a problem, you know, RightChat, we scheduled a new patient on someone's schedule wrong, and you actually reach out and say, hey, this happened. Can you please make sure this type patient is scheduled here next time? The company listens, takes notes, goes immediately to the agents, role plays and practices with them, make sure their vision and expectations are set straight, and make sure those problems don't happen again. Which, by the way, the number one sign of a great organization, or one of the best signs, isn't that they don't make mistakes. They all make. We all make them. And we always will. But it's ones that care enough to fix them and make sure they don't happen again. That's the sign. And that's a podcast in itself as well. But see, all of those things don't happen when you're cheap. And the same question I asked before. How many of you think that a practice charging $4,500 for an Invisalign case, as an example, is going to be good clinically? And you know the answer to this. We talk about this kind of stuff all the time. You know, if you're the low baller, yeah, we'll do Invisalign for $4,000 or $4,200 or we'll beat the other person's price. Usually, the clinical experience that comes with that is not good. It's certainly not exceptional. And it can't be. Why? Think about a practice. It's all about quantity. Imagine what that waiting room looks like, the influx of calls look like. Imagine what, especially if they're not using remote monitoring or a high clear aligner shared a chair. Imagine that environment's even worse. The amount of chaos, you lose Susie, you got to hire Betty. Now your brace is heavy. You've got a trainer on all of this stuff. It's chaos. You're not going to be greeted through the door or immediately through the door at your appointments. You're not going to get an exceptional experience prior to sale. And you're not going to get one after either, clinically or non. And all of you know that. But I hate to tell you, it's not just on the clinical side. And this shows a lot of people when I see this, how much they value the clinical, but they think marketing and business and training somehow is on a lower level. And the same things apply. If you want a badass coach, guess what? You're better invest the money to get a badass coach. One of the things we hear when I get called with new patient group or people walk up to our booth, we hear this. And by the way, one of the things when I started new patient group, I wanted the reputation to be is exactly what I'm starting to hear. And I'm proud of it. This is what they say. So we've heard about you guys. This is what we've heard. You're amazing at what you do. If you want results, there isn't anybody better. We heard your content is amazing. The relationships you build, you know, just how much people like you, but we heard you're expensive. And my response back is good. Because all the things that you heard about us from a reputation wouldn't exist if we were cheap. It's the same thing from a clinical perspective with all of you. If you're churning and burning and you're $4,000 a case or whatever the number is and you're cheaper than everybody else, you can't be as good a clinician as when you're the most expensive and you don't have to have as much quantity and you have remote monitoring in place. And when people do need to come in, you're offering them just absolutely impeccable value and personal attention and you're able to get them in and out without waiting, and you're respecting their time. By the way, all that increases your referrals and video testimonial opportunities and 5-star reviews. Because the experience doesn't stop prior to sale or leading up to sale. The experience is just getting going. The existing patients, they've got to get an even better one. Otherwise, they feel like you pulled a switcheroo, especially if you're expensive. Now, I also go on to say in these calls when people tell me that is I don't think we're expensive. Again, the point is with us and our pricing is, again, would you rather pay $5 and get a return of $10 or would you rather pay $1,000 and get a return of $10,000? Obviously, it's the second one, but a lot of you don't look at it that way whenever you're shopping for companies to help you on the business side or you say, well, I can't afford it. And I'll say, well, you know what you can't afford? 4 missed new patient calls every month and 5 no-shows every month and high pay-per-click expenses. That's what you can't afford. And it's just such a different way of looking at numbers. Like I said, that why your account is sabotaging your success. Corporations are very used to being able to discount very low prices with their vendors, and we're just not like that. And like I said, can we adjust that $1,000 a tier? Yeah, but think about it. If you charge an average of $6,000 a case and we're answering as your backup and we answer 2 this month and save you 2 from buying from somewhere else and they buy from you, And then next month we schedule one. And then the next month we schedule four. Well, just in 3 months, you have 7 new patients and $42,000 of potential revenue that you never would have had without us, because they're not leaving a voicemail. They're going right down Google and they're going to buy from somebody else. $42,000 of potential revenue. And that's how fast it adds up. If you listen to Why Your Receptionist Is Your New TC that we did a couple months ago, one of the things I talk about is how to reduce no-shows. And I also mentioned several times in podcasts in the past that if you have a no-show problem, which if you have one or two a month in the ortho world, you have a no-show problem, because that adds up. It's just insane how fast those numbers add up to hundreds of thousands of losses. It's your receptionist's fault. Now, there's some other things as well, but mainly it's on your receptionist. One of the things that we track with Right Chat is not only are we scheduling them, are they showing up? And they show up at such an insanely high rate because the receptionist is able to sell them on the value differentiation of why you're different, why you're unique, why you're better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. See, the sale, just like the restaurants, the sale is around the experience, the wow factor, et cetera, et cetera. But it's also your team's ability, your waiter's ability to sell how amazing the food is. One of the things at that Edison Food and Lab that they edified is that they give full control to the head chef. And the head chef changes the menu every day. So every day they are printing out brand new menus, which is exactly how, if and when I have my own restaurant, that's exactly how you want it. The chef needs to have equity position and the chef needs to have full control, as long as you trust the chef that they know what they're doing. And those restaurants are, you know, farm to table. It's always fresh. It's always good. There's nothing that remains stale. They're always switching things up. They have a culture of change, which should be the only thing that ever remains constant in any business, is change. Your team should be used to it and they should be proud of it. They should look forward to it. A lot of you out there, we use a website example. A lot of you out there will go and say, okay, so I want a new website and I want it to do the trick, right? Search engine optimization, I want to rank, you know, I want this image of how I want things and how I want to come across when people are shopping. And we get this with new patient group where, you know, you've shopped around and most likely we are going to be more expensive than the places you've shopped around. Now, in my opinion, again, we're not even close to what we should be able to charge, and probably will charge someday based on the results and the personal attention people get. But again, whenever you talk to that company, did you talk to their founder and CEO? What are their credentials of that founder and CEO? Did you get to talk to the digital marketing team? Did their executive level digital marketing team, are those the same people that are going to be assigned to your practice, like our executive team, VP of marketing, Haley Jeffrey, head web designer, Cynthia, head SEO guy, Michael, David Martin, Mandy, all more behind the scenes people that really make a lot of this thing tick. Those are the people that are assigned to you. You get Zoom meetings every month, data overview videos, you get guidance, marketing assignments, pure personalization and customization from the ground up. You get professional photography that comes in. You get to own all that stuff. You get your own executive level marketing team, so you don't have to hire that. You outsource it to us. And the results are beautiful. They're impeccable. But guess what? That kind of personal attention, you're not going to get it for $1,000 a month. And that's the kind of thing a lot of you do. You look on paper and you say, okay, well, this company is 1,000. This company is X. And I'm not going to go into our pricing because there's a lot of different ways we do it. But when you look at X, if X is more, significantly more, you also have to ask yourself what comes with that. You're investing in a culture that cares, a culture of people that are trained, personal attention. You have our cell phones. You can text us. You can call us. We know you. We meet with you and your team regularly. It's an extension of your team. And do you think we could offer those results if we were cheap? No. Because if you're cheap, you've got to have a ton of customers. You're never going to get a hold of the executive team. You're going to have to call an 800 number with some of the answers that have no idea who you are. So even though the on the paper cost looks cheaper on the thousand, it's the thousand is actually way more expensive because it's going to cost you opportunities, lost opportunities, that is. It's going to cost you time, frustration, aggravation. You're going to have to switch every year or two when your contract's over. You can't think this way. When we're talking right chat pricing, a lot of times with the other model we have, the other tier pricing is 500 a tier, but the tiers are 0 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, and so on and so forth on up. So that tier pricing helps people whenever we're their primary, because whenever we're their primary, we don't do that all the time. It varies on certain things and certain times of the year. It just varies for reasons that sometimes it's even too complicated to sit here and depend on how many agent availability we have. Are we behind on hiring agents? All of this stuff goes into it. But the 500 a tier via fives really helps, because if you go one or two into the next tier, instead of paying 1,000, you're paying 500 more. But this is how a lot of the corporate people, whenever they hear this and they want a partner, they can't get the number out of their head. This is an actual conversation that I had with somebody, and they're a smart person. They're an MBA. Like, obviously, they know their stuff. But this is the disconnect, and this is the world of numbers that professors can't teach, because most professors have never owned a company in their entire life. And when you own your own business, it is a completely different planet than when you work for a corporation. It's a completely different universe for thousands of reasons. One of them is this, is that let's say in a month, let's say we charge the 500, right? So let's say you go and we charge the 500 a tier and we schedule 10 new patients for you this month. You're going to get billed $1,000, right? You're in tier two, so it's an additional 500. The way that the corporations keep looking at this is they look at it and they go, okay, God, that's $100 a patient, right? That's how they look at it. And they can't get out of that mindset. Never does it cross their mind that, no, that's not what it is. First of all, those are 10 patients as the backup. Those are 10 potential starts we sent you as an insurance policy that you never would have had and never even knew you lost to another practice, because they would have just called the next person on Google. It's free business. The next one is let's say they would have called back. Well, guess what? Now we're saving you from a bad brand reputation, right? And here's where a lot of people go, well, you know, I can't put my finger on that, so I don't believe it. Or now, because the phone can ring and we can get it, you can greet Joey, the new patient, right when he walks through the door. Unexpected hospitality. But because the finger can't put on the return that greeting somebody the moment they walk through the door, there's such a disconnect. So it goes back to $100 a patient, because we spent $1,000, you scheduled 10 patients, you know, 100 divided by 10 is, you know, that's 100. That is what, or 1,000 divided by 10. So they can't break that down any other way than that. The culture. The highly trained agents, the ease of lowering your advertising expenses because you're not missing as many opportunities, the power of persuasion, how the agents are going to talk and sell your organization to reduce your no-shows and increase your same-day starts, none of that crosses their mind. And even when you talk about it, they can't wrap their head around anything I'm talking about. And this just isn't corporations. This could be a single practice that wants right chat as well. And I'm hoping all of you, if this is the first podcast that you've ever listened to, this absolutely 100%, like I said a couple times already, is not a right chat pitch. This is a how people try to lowball and cut other companies' costs when they're searching for things to help their business. Honestly, your practice too, because the same thing could be related over on the clinical side. You know, I see this. A lot of DSOs do this, and a lot of you do this out there too. Not new patient group customers, because your mindset is so beyond this. But just listeners out there, is that, okay, you want some more clinical supplies. Well, you buy from the place that gives you the cheapest deal. But it doesn't cross your mind, again, that if you have a problem and you've got a call, are they going to answer right away? Are they going to know you? How high quality is their stuff? Because what you should do is you should invest in the highest quality materials to make sure your patients are getting the absolute best. That is an investment. It is not a cost. But I promise you, the companies that have higher dollar materials also deliver you a higher dollar experience. That is the model that we teach, that we want all of you in this economy where people are shopping unlike ever before. It is inevitably the worst idea you can have is to cheapen your price. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. The best thing you can do is jack your price up. But like I've said, is that you've got to offer the non-clinical experiences, the non-food experiences that go along with it. You know, a question a lot of you should ask yourself is how often, whenever you're looking for marketing, consulting, a solution like a Right Chat, how often are you thinking about all these other intangibles that go into making sure that what you're getting is the finest service, the finest product for your business and your practice? And it goes so far beyond just what we teach you, goes so far beyond just your clinical skill sets. With Right Chat, it goes so far beyond just how good the people are on the phones. With New Patient Group, it goes so far beyond how good we are at training your team on sales and all the skill sets we talk about, making sure you're an entrepreneur and making sure you're running the business with innovation, and how we do online digital marketing. It goes so far beyond those things. It's culture, it's relationships, It's convenience, it's ease, it's the know, like, trust factor. It's being a part of your life, part of your journey. All of those supersede the importance of the actual service, by the way, no different than how all those supersede your clinical skill sets. And if your actual food is also impeccable, if your clinical skill sets are also impeccable, if we're unbelievable at the new patient phone call with Right Chat, if that's impeccable, that's how you get loyal customers that don't leave. And it also goes back to, you know, one of the most ironic things to me in the restaurant industry, and this is why we're big believers that you should be taking your team to events. This is a podcast at some point. You should be taking your team to events outside your healthcare bubble. Rarely do any of you do that. Because just like we talk about, inevitably, you're better off, and it shouldn't be this way, but again, it goes back to what can your customer relate to? Like, you're better off in this commoditized world being exceptional and unexpected at all the hospitality, non-clinical things. You're better off being great at that and not so great on the clinical than the other way around. You say, Brian, how could you ever say that? Well, obviously, I understand you should be a great clinician. But the one that's great at the non-clinical and not so great at the clinical, they're going to win. And it's the same thing like Burns Steakhouse. You say to yourself, how in the hell could a steakhouse be in the top 10 in the United States consistently? How could it be a former number one when their food isn't even that good? Well, it goes back to what I'm always talking about. Their non-food experiences are so insanely over the top and unexpected. That's how. You know, if you took that away and the food was how it was, the place wouldn't even exist. The place is charging for experience. That's what they're charging for. You know, if you want to be switching in and out of companies that do your website or help train your team or lead you down a path of innovation as an entrepreneur, and you just want to be working with all these different companies and blah, 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 which a lot of you do. You know, when you go to an event, what's the latest flavor of the month, you work with them, then buy the cheapest, because that's why you're going to keep switching. But you have to look at, whenever people are price shopping for the clinical, that can't frustrate you when you turn around and do the same thing to these businesses that are trying to help you and trying to do it at a high level and try to care. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of companies that don't care. But I can tell you one of the differentiators, it's not the only one, and is this 100% fail-proof what I'm about to say? Absolutely not. But I will tell you one of the indicators of a company that truly cares about experience is they are a higher price than the other two, three, four opinions that you have. And don't think, by the way, that consumers aren't wondering that whenever they get hit with a higher price than yours. Or, when you're a higher price and you hit them with that price over their other two, three, four opinions. Like, if all the non-clinical experiences leading up to you handing them that bill have been unexpected and amazing, they will have an aha moment. Okay, I get it. This is why they're more expensive. But if you hit them with an expensive bill more than their other two, three, four opinions, and you haven't wowed them, they're not going to get it. And then you get frustrated that they go with the cheaper option. Well, they went with the cheaper option because, like I talked about in that number one trait of billionaires and why price shoppers exist, this industry has created the price shoppers. Because you all go to the same events, you hire the same industry consultants, you listen to the same messages over and over, and everyone does things the same. The consumer goes to four opinions, can't differentiate why you're better and more expensive than the other three. But if you look outside your industry and you say, how can we apply what's made Disney and the Ritz and all these famous institutions, what has made them famous, and how can we take those same things and how can we apply it via every interaction within our office? Boom. Now the consumer can see the difference. But those companies that are going to help you get there, they're going to be more expensive. You've got to look beyond, again, you've got to look beyond the number. The numbers, there's a podcast at some point, and it's called Why What You Do Know Is Killing You. Numbers lie. You've heard me say it in podcasts before. Numbers are not telling you the real story. Period. End of story. They lie to you left and right all day long. Now, do you need to know them? You absolutely need to know them. But if you're making decisions purely off of what you see on paper, especially as a small business entrepreneur, you are costing yourself so many millions of dollars. So many millions of dollars. Because again, it goes back to, yeah, I paid $5 and I got 10. Meanwhile, the person that understands the investment side of it spent $1,000 a month and made $30,000. Or they spent $10,000 a month and made $200,000. Whatever number equation you want to put in there, you get the point. And that's the other point on numbers. You know, on the right chat side, I see this just all the time. And again, it's the only objection we ever hear is on the pricing. Only objection. The rest of the model, people love it. The customers love it. People, you know, we have lost very few people since we started Right Chat, and all of them keep coming back to us. Perfect example. I'm not going to say his name. We had a customer leave for another company that claim they do what we do. They don't. They outsource their stuff to India. They're as cheap as you can possibly imagine. And we had a customer leave because they went to an event, they saw them, and they switched. Guess what happened a month later? They came crawling back. Why? Because that company was a pain in the butt to deal with. They didn't do what they promised. You couldn't get a hold of anybody. Their service sucked, et cetera, et cetera. But to a lot of people, they're cheaper on paper. But he came back and he told us for all the reasons. I came back to you because the relationship I have with Brenna, the relationship I had with your in-office or your in-house IT guy, Steve, the relationship I had with the agents answering my phones and how ridiculous everything was. Anytime we had a problem, you fixed it. Well, guess what? That's why we're more expensive. That's why all of you who are high-end businesses who charge a lot for your clear aligner case or your braces, you're better. That's why you charge more. Whether or not your team can sell why you're better, that is the inevitable journey you all must understand and take. But that is why you're better. That is why we are better. We're not expensive. The return people get is ridiculous when they invest in our services. But if you look at it on paper, I guess we're not cheap. Like I said, nor do we want to be. I don't want to have, you know, imagine us having to get three times the amount of customers. And this is a good analogy for those of you who are our customers. Imagine what it would take if we had to get three times the amount we do to make the same thing. How would that affect your experience? And I can tell you, if that was our model, you wouldn't know me. You wouldn't stay at my house. I wouldn't stay at your house when I came there. Eric wouldn't stay at your house when he came there. And I certainly can tell you, you wouldn't get Eric or I as your coaches. But meanwhile, we're cheaper, right? So that's the company you go with expecting the same result. No. And hopefully, you know, talking about the right chat example and talking about the new patient group example, hopefully in your minds, you are all going, yeah, I get it. Like, we're saving money with this one supply company. Are you? Because the other supply company that was more, I don't know. Is their quality better? And again, is their experience better? Is their goal to make the best, absolute finest products imaginable? Maybe that means less emergency appointments. Maybe that means if you do have a problem, you get a hold of somebody right away. All those intangibles that you can't put your finger on. You're investing in people's culture, everybody. That's the investment. Does the leadership team give a damn about your success? Because I can tell you, me personally, I would rather spend, like I said, I'd rather spend $2,000 a month and know that the leadership team is involved. They're obsessed with employee experience. They're obsessed with customer experience. They're obsessed with their customers being taken care of. They truly care about their customers' lives. I would invest in that any day of the week. For $2,000, $3,000 a month, whatever the heck the cost is, over somebody that goes, oh, our services, we're the same. We're only $500 a month. And so many go, oh, same services on paper, looks the same. Boom, let's go with the $500. So many of you do that. And a lot of you out there, you cannot be talked out of your professor in school mindset that you were trained, no matter what examples that are given. No matter how much I talk about, this is how the Shark Tank, this is how billionaire entrepreneurs look at numbers. No matter what examples you give, you'll still go back to like the right chat. Well, that's $100 a patient. And you can't think anything beyond that. And it never crosses your mind, okay, you want a cheaper deal. Okay, well, let's do 500 a tier 0 to 20. Oh, okay, that's a much better deal. Let's roll it out to 500 practices. Meanwhile, they do that. The agents are so inundated with the amount of calls they have to take now. We've got to hire a trillion agent team. The training goes to hell. The culture goes to hell. The results for the customer go to hell. And then you blame the company. It's the same thing if someone buys from SmileDirect, right? Cheap. And because a consumer isn't educated by the orthodontic industry, other industries as well, they think a clear aligner is a clear aligner many times, and they go with the cheapness. And what happens? The next thing you know, they're knocking on your door, and you're getting a retreat because SmileDirect Club didn't do their job, or they screwed them up, or whatever, and you're going, huh. All right, now I'm about to make some money when they first bought from SmileDirect Club. And this is the exact same analogy. Cheap, you're not going to get a good clinical result. Same thing in the plastic surgery world, my former life. I can tell you, if you want real results that are done in a way that no one's going to know that you've had anything, then you better be willing to spend the money. If you come across three opinions, the two that are less, you absolutely should not buy from them. Period. There's a reason why people are more expensive in the clinical realm and also out of the clinical realm with companies that can still help your business, can still help your practice. These are intangibles, everybody, that you've got to remember. Back to that accountant screwing your success, sabotaging your success. is that if the $1,000 a month you're spending allows you to work less. See, one of the disconnects, I believe, if you look at, and I speak for a lot of big companies out there, so I work with their higher ups, and they're all my good friends. I like them all. You know, one of the things about this industry, I was telling somebody at the DM event, is I have never met anybody in orthodontics or dentistry that I didn't like. The reps, you know, all the Invisalign people, all the dental monitoring people, all the OrthoFi people, and other companies that I speak for too. I like everybody. Like this, I wish everybody lived right around my neighborhood. My life when I'm home would be a lot more fun because I'd hang with all of you. You're all great people. But there is a disconnect between the people working for corporations and people like myself who run small businesses, helping other small businesses. And yes, we also help corporations. Yes, I get it. Is that disconnect in numbers? But it's also, when you're working for a corporation, you got to understand, you're never going to get to a place where you work really hard and then all of a sudden you don't have to work anymore. Right? That's not going to happen. You're always going to be busting your butt. And if you get promoted, you'll be busting your butt in a different way. See, as a small business owner, one of our goals is to work our butts off so hard for a certain amount of years that we get things in a place where they kind of run themselves. Right? And we can take ourselves out of all the work and everything is autopiloted and we can work less and less and less as time passes while making more and more and more. So when we look at numbers, that's got to be a big part of what we're looking at. Meaning that let's say you have the same product, same service on paper, whatever it is, any kind of product, clinical product, or you're hiring a service to help your business, whatever it is, on paper, it's the exact same. And then you get to the end and one of them says it's $500 a month and the other one says it's $2,000 a month. Most people in corporations are going to look at that and go, no brainer. $500 a month. It saves us $1,500 a month for what appears to be the exact same service. Let's go with them. Right? And again, this is not a criticism, but this is one of, and really this whole podcast is one of, or many of, the disconnects between corporations, small businesses. Because as an entrepreneur, it goes so much deeper than that. Okay, on paper, all right? But then it's like, which one is going to allow me to step away and work less? Which one, if I have a problem and I call, is going to answer the phone right away? Which one, if I strategically, if I put this in place right, is going to allow me to eliminate two employees, or if I lose two employees, I don't have to go and rehire? Which one is going to alleviate the HR, the interview, the hiring and firing, the ongoing rinse, wash, repeat cycle of all of that, and training my people, and dealing with everybody, and constantly stressing out? Right? Which one is going to allow me to make the same amount of money and work 3 days a week less, or make more and work 3 days a week less? And if that's the one that's the $1,500 a month, that's the one we buy. That's the disconnect on why it's so much more than what the paper is telling you. Like the Right Chat example, it's not $100 a patient if you're 500 a tier, 0 to 5. And another 500, 6 to 10, and we schedule 10, and you get billed 1,000, that is not $100 a patient. That is, we saved you from losing 10 people that likely would have bought elsewhere. We reduced your advertising costs because you lessened your lost opportunities. We allowed you to greet people when the moment they walk through the door, instead of them having to wait because your people are distracted by the phones. We allowed you, if we're your primary, to stop the rinse, wash, repeat cycle at your front desk and the training cycle, etc. There is so many other intangibles that go with it. And like I said, this is for any type of business you are searching to help your practice stop nickeling and diming people. Now, the difference is, it doesn't mean that you can't try to get a better price. That's not what I'm saying. But inevitably, you cannot make your final decision on which one's the cheapest because you complain whenever the patient does that to you. And that disconnect between entrepreneur running a business and looking at all the people that are helping you be more efficient, more profitable, less stress, less chaos, more money, more collections, all those things. You can't nickel and dime that and expect the same result. No different than the patient nickel and diming you on the clinical and them expecting the same result, the same personal attention, all of that stuff. I want you to switch the mindset, everybody, when you're looking for people to help your business. The mindset has got to be changed. You've got to look at these differently. I think this was a great follow-up. If you have not listened to it, now go back and listen to that November episode last year around how your accountant is sabotaging your success. This is a good extension of it, I believe, and a mistake that business owners in every industry make. Just like the Burns Steakhouse, the Edison Food and Lab. If they're cheap or cheaper, they don't have that amazing experience that enhances the food quality. Burns, they're different because their food quality is average. I just made dinner last night that's better than anything Burns is ever going to put at anyone's table ever. I made it right at the house. But because of their experience and how over the top with unexpected hospitality, that is the inevitable reason they win. Now, should they have better food? Of course. But people are going to go back to show everybody the experience. Those are the tight places, by the way, you should take your team. Because once they get a taste of that experience, light bulbs go on and they go, okay, now I get it. Edison Food and Lab, same way. Appreciate all your support out there. Hi again, everyone over there on the YouTube station. Thanks, everyone, for following and listening. The numbers are growing like crazy, and we so, so appreciate it. Mastermind members, see you this upcoming weekend in Williamsburg for our second in-person Mastermind event. Looking forward to it. Hope everybody enjoyed today. Switch that mindset, everybody. It's the investment, all right? And just because people are cheaper doesn't make it a better option for your business. Remember what price shoppers are doing to your practice. The next time you start shopping for something you need for your business, because the two are not disconnected. The two are the same. The two are the same. All right. See everybody soon. Until next time, thanks for your following and your loyal partnership out there. Take great care of your patients. Take great care of your employees. See everybody soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Brian Wright. Thank you so much for listening, and please visit newpatientgroup.com/free courses to get our latest on-demand video trainings for free. These are shot in 4K, exceptional quality, and we really want you to test out our content. So just go to newpatientgroup.com/free courses, sign up, and you'll learn some really amazing things. We would also like to answer your new patient phone calls with my company, Right Chat. We can be the primary and answer all of them, or we can be your saving grace where the ones you miss, we will answer them as we're sitting at your front desk, your own employee, remotely log into your software and schedule that new patient, and they never even know a third party answered. It's a revolutionizing the answering service industry and honestly made call services and answering services completely obsolete because nobody will leave a message in this new economy. So if you use a call center or an answering service, switch to Right Chat as a game changer. We'll do it for 2 months free. We have our own in-house IT team that will hook everything up for you. Your software, your phones, your phone number, you don't have to change anything. The onboarding is simple. We make sure that process is streamlined. And when you hear my agents answer that new patient call, you're never going to want your own team to do it. And it'll be a great training when you listen to us. We'll be a great training to get your own people trained as well. Okay, so look forward to helping you out. I ask that you please write a 5-star review about the New Patient Group podcast on Apple or wherever you're listening to the podcast. And also write a 5-star review about New Patient Group and Right Chat Online. That would really help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, give a thumbs up to the video, subscribe to our channel, put some comments in there how much you like it. And I would personally like to offer you your own free business and practice consultation with me so we can chat about your business and I can personally prescribe something that is really going to help you thrive in this new economy of competition, commoditization, and consumerism. Once again, thanks for your support. We'll see everybody soon. Bye-bye.